We would now like to move into chapter 6. The first instruction that we read about in chapter 6 is about the foolishness of making oneself responsible for the paying of another person's debts and pledging to pay if the other person defaults. While this is a practice that was done, it could be very costly and create a financial disaster. The one pledging to pay could be responsible for the whole debt if the original borrower defaulted. It is far better practice to give to those who are in need. We read in Deuteronomy 15:7-8, "If there be among you a poor man of one of thy brethren within any of thy gates in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, thou shalt not harden thine heart, nor shut thine hand from thy poor brother, but thou shalt open thine hand wide unto him, and shalt surely lend him sufficient for his need in that which he wanteth." Also we find that you could also lend the money without charging interest. Exodus 22:5, "If thou lend money to any of my people that is poor by thee, thou shalt not be to him as an usurer, neither shalt thou lay upon him usury." It's not that we're not to help, but it's not advisable to help in such a way as to become enslaved to a lender yourself. So that is the immediate subject we read here in the first two verses of chapter 6. Let's read these first two verses, 1 and 2. "My son, if thou be surety for thy friend, if thou hast stricken thine hand with a stranger, thou art snared with the words of thy mouth, thou art taken with the words of thy mouth." We must look upon taking another's debt as a snare and not allow ourselves to be put into this position. It's bad enough for you to be bound to a friend, one you know well and one you can trust, but it's much more dangerous to strike your hand with a stranger. It appears that the stranger here has the grip on your friend, and for you to guarantee payment of the debt puts you in the same grip of this same stranger. You now may be at the mercy of a stranger who you should not owe anything. This can be a terrible disadvantage for you. It can work a great hardship on you for no good reason. It's bad enough for your friend to be ensnared and to have a great hardship, but it's not practical for you to take on this same hardship. Maybe the friend needs to learn to manage his or her affairs better to avoid similar problems in the future. And if you have agreed to enter into such an agreement, this is an unwise move, and you should know that thou art snared with the words of thy mouth. It was easy to do. Just say the word that you're willing to do it. It may be easier to agree to do it than to refuse your friend, but you must realize that once you sign an agreement with a stranger, then it will not be easy to get out of. You're truly snared. Words have meaning, and they can bind us. They can become snares. If we have been drawn into a word snare, our wisest move will be to get out of it as soon as possible. For verses 3 and 4 say, "Do this now, my son, and deliver thyself. When thou art come unto the hand of thy friend, give not sleep to thine eyes, nor slumber to thine eyelids." The general thought here is to avoid being trapped with unnecessary financial burdens by taking on the debt of another person. Solomon urges that strong consideration be given to not allowing your friend's creditor to enslave you. This could hinder you from meeting your own responsibilities to those for whom you're responsible, such as your own family. To stress the importance and urgency of not becoming unnecessarily entangled, he uses such phrases as, "Do this now, my son, deliver thyself, give not sleep to thine eyes, or slumber to thine eyelids." And in verse 5 he says, "Deliver thyself as a roe from the hand of the hunter, and as a bird from the hand of the fowler." These are strong words, but they're designed to show the importance of recognizing these financial entrapments. Here the Word of God is showing how to be good managers of our earthly possessions. God's Word is our very best guide. Following God's Word will help us avoid the poor judgment of our own thoughts. But how are we going to take this teaching? The general principle taught by God's Word do not forbid us from ever taking on another's debt. The Apostle Paul became bound for Onesimus in Philemon 8 and 9. If he hath wronged thee, or oweth thee aught, put that on mine account. I, Paul, have written it with mine own hand. I will repay it. There may be times when we can help someone financially without doing any detriment to ourselves. The idea is to not allow the third person, the creditor, to have the advantage over us, since we did not make the debt with him in the first place. So we can get some valuable principle here from this instruction here in Proverbs. First of all, it is every person's responsibility to keep himself or herself out of debt that is not necessary debt. This can become an entanglement with the world and put a person in danger of doing wrong or suffering wrong. The borrower is servant to the lender and makes himself very much a slave to the world. Christians who are bought with a price should not without justifiable need make themselves the servants of men. 1 Corinthians 7:23, you're bought with a price, be not ye the servants of men. It is very unwise for us to entangle ourselves with the obligations of foolish people and to become bound to their debts. Those who universally become indebted, that are forever in need of money due to poor management, if we become obligated for them, eventually we'll have to pay for them. A person should never bind himself for another by more than he's willing and able to pay, without wronging his family. Do not become obligated above what you're able to pay, for you may very well have to pay it. If we see that we are heading towards such an unwise obligation, if you're foolishly entangling yourself, get out of the snare as fast as you can. Lose no time, spare no pain, humble yourself as necessary to get your affairs into a good position. It's better to humble yourself and choose your obligation than to ruin yourself by being haughty and unchanging. Remember, unnecessary obligations for a friend could eventually ruin the friendship. 1 Timothy 5:22, neither be partaker of other men's sins. We must conclude that good judgment and much prayer should be involved in any situation where we're responsible for another's debts. Now the next few verses here in Proverbs chapter 6 may have been given because many times those who are indebted are that way because they have not provided for themselves by working and saving. In verses 6 to 11, Solomon talks directly to the sluggard who loves his ease, lives in idleness, minds no business, sticks to no job, brings no fruits to his labor, and we also know that such a one is going to be careless in the business of religion too. Slothfulness is a sure way to poverty, just as foolish indebtedness is. So verses 6 through 8 say, go to the ant, thou sluggard, consider her ways and be wise, which having no guide, overseer, or ruler, provideth her meat in the summer and gathereth her fruit in the harvest. A sluggard is one who is habitually inactive or lazy. The sluggard needs to be taught something. Notice who his teacher is. Go to the ant, thou sluggard. Man is taught more than the beasts of the earth, given more ability to learn than the birds of the air, yet can become so degenerate that he needs to learn wisdom from the lowest insects, the ants, and be brought to shame by them. When we observe the wonderful wisdom possessed by the lowest creatures of nature, we must not only glorify God for making them thus, but we must learn from them for ourselves. The more we know about these lowly creatures, the more we can appreciate God and His great creation. In order to learn how to not be a sluggard, the mind must be applied. Here he says, consider her ways. The sluggard is the way he is because he does not consider. This means to carefully think about, to ponder, to study, to think seriously, to reflect. This is the only way anyone can learn. We must consider. If we learn from someone else, we must consider their ways and diligently observe what they do. So that's what the sluggard is told here to do, to go to the ant and consider her ways. Now, in the next few verses, he's going to tell what the ant does and how the sluggard can learn from the ant. But at this time, we must bring our lesson to a close, and we plan to continue at that point next time. Till next time, this is N.C. Crouch saying goodbye, friends.